Welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and I am super excited to welcome back to the show the incredible, talented, funny, handsome, smart, world-renowned author. We can add that one, Cam Inman. Cam, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Tracy. That was wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So since I mentioned you're a world-renowned author, you have a book coming out, The Franchise. And there it is behind you for those of you watching on YouTube, all about the San Francisco 49ers. My dad actually just wrote a book. I know how hard that is. So tell us about it and where everybody can get it and when they can get it and all of the things.
Okay. So you can pre-order now, and it is available at your Barnes and Nobles and your, the publisher is Triumph Books. And so, Amazon and all that stuff too. So, they came to me last year asking if I would do a book, and they've come over the years, and I said, nah, there's nothing's happened. They haven't won a Super Bowl, you know, in 30 years. So, but what this is I can retell, I mean, this is my 25th year covering the 49ers.
Wow.
And so I can like share with everybody my path of what you need to know about the 49ers. And so you take it through the quarterbacks and the legends and the Super Bowls and draft picks and free agents and stadium after stadium. But the cool part, I think, also besides my stories and anecdotes and one-on-one interviews, is I got two of the best 49ers of all time to do the forwards for it. I've got the 49ers' best running back in Frank Gore. And then I got their best, most prolific tight end and current spirit animal, George Kittle. So I've got, you get not just one forward, you get two for the price of one for my book. And it was a fun project, and it's officially coming out, I believe, on September 24th.
Okay.
But I think I should have some by training camp at some point or preseason.
Amazing.
So, it's a fun read. I have to, I guess one of the things I've learned from writing is I hate going back and rereading my stuff. And so when you have to go back and read like 300 pages and you're like, oh gosh, I don't want to do this because I really don't enjoy reading much.
That's funny.
But the book, right? Who's an author? But there's like 30 chapters. So it's like you can whip through it. Like each chapter is only a few pages. So it's like about on each person, right? And I enjoyed reading it again. So it was, awesome. If I can enjoy it, you can enjoy it. And there's stuff you need to know about the franchise. Like, but it's like, I never saw Leo Nomalini play, but I can tell you what I've learned about him, what I know about him. But again, that's very minimal stuff. Most of this is basically from the Super Bowl years onward. So, I mean, I grew up in the Bay Area. The 49ers were winning Super Bowls when I was before my teens. Is that a great way to date myself?
That is.
I'm not that old. No, they haven't won one since my kids are alive. So, I mean, that's not a good thing.
I should say, I can't even remember. I know I was alive for the last one. I just can't remember it at all.
Isn't that amazing to think about that? I'm like, I have a daughter that's in law school right now, and she's never seen a 49ers Super
Bowl
or win a Super
Bowl. That is kind of crazy. She's seen them in them, but she hasn't seen them win one.
Well, you know, the other daughter's mad at me because she said, you know, Dad, you've been covering the 49ers a long time. I've never gone to a game. I said, all right, we're going to change that this year.
Oh, my gosh.
So we got to get her to a game. So, yeah.
BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything online sports betting. Right now, you can receive a 50% free bet of up to $250 on your first deposit to bet on anything from the Olympics to baseball to Formula One racing. BetOnline has every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here.
Do you cover anything at all from this past Super Bowl run?
I do. Okay. It was kind of funny. Well, not funny, because nobody had fun after this last Super Bowl run. But as we got back to the dreadful media hotel in Las Vegas, the one with the pyramid, a colleague from the East Coast sees me and says, ah, well, Cam, there goes your book deal. I go, au contraire. That was only the last chapter. So the book was already pretty much written. That was the final chapter. And but I do incorporate a lot of last season, because last season was a big year, you know, besides the Super Bowl. You had some amazing playoff wins. You had Brock Purdy coming into his own with his new arm. You had Christian McCaffrey winning a rushing title. There is Pro Bowls and All-Stars and All-Pros all over the place. And you had a really good coach still. So, like, and I have chapters on all the coaches. And but it's like, even like, for example, in the book, like, I'm not going to get too much further into the book, but like a chapter I did on Bill Walsh. Everybody knows what Bill Walsh did with his franchise, what he did with, to revolutionize the NFL and practice habits and so much more. The chapter on Bill I wrote focuses more on what he did for minority hiring.
Wow.
Because as the NFL has the Bill Walsh Minority Fellowships to give minority coaches a start. And I think that's really underplayed every year. And I think it means so much. And so years ago, and I talked to Bill about this when I first started covering the NFL. And so there's all this stuff I have about that that I'm able to get into the book that I've maybe my newspaper didn't really want me to get into or stuff like that. So I try to take it from a different perspective where you're going to learn something that you may have already know about some, like the person, but here's something else that might be cool to learn.
Absolutely. So. Well, I'm looking forward to reading it. Everybody go pre-order the book. And this actually transitions well into this coming season, because I think this season is one where the 49ers would really like to win a Super Bowl. And this, with this group that they have at the moment, this is really their last chance to win with this group, not forever, but with this particular group. One member of the group is not that happy at the moment. And do you like that transition? he's not that happy at the moment. At the time of recording, nothing has happened with Brandon Ayuk. He has not signed an extension. He has not been traded. None of the things. I don't think he's going to be traded. And I want to hear your thoughts on that as well. But the other thing I want to talk about, because you and I have been there for this the last several years, we saw Deebo Samuel request a trade, and obviously that didn't happen. And that one was contentious. Nick Bosa, I don't know if it was contentious, but it took a very long time, up until the 11th hour, for him to, for them to get the extension done with him. This one, for some reason, and I don't know if I've just spent too much time on Twitter, but this one, for some reason, feels a little bit different to me. And so I would love your perspective on that as well.
You know, I think it's been different all off season because it's Brandon Ayuk's been making it very public about his angst to get a deal done. And, you know, this, the trade request came in on, I think, July 16th. And, you know, every summer we've seen a 49ers homegrown star get a contract extension. Well, none of them have happened before July 16th. So it's like, okay, his impatience is like continue to climb all throughout the offseason. But, you know, when he said on a podcast a few weeks ago that this is kind of fun, of like getting himself out there and playing social media stuff, it's like, and like, we know Brandon, he has not been the most vocal kind of, it's all about me kind of guy. He's, you know, happy go lucky, but low key guy. And that, now's his time to get, you know, money. And I understand that. So it's like, I respect, like, he really wants to get paid. Just it's the impatience and the timing of it. It's like, have you not been paying attention? The Niners don't usually pay guys until training camp. If they send them signals that we are not paying you, maybe that's what it is. But again, I wouldn't take them at their word until it's the seed's afoot. And, you know, Bosa was a different story because he was getting a contract bigger than any player in NFL history that wasn't a quarterback. And Kittle was different because he wasn't just a tight end. So he had to reset that market. But they paid Fred Warner in, like, I think late July. Deebo got his a couple days into his hold in. Once the market kind of settled, like, among his wide receivers. So, I mean, I get what Brandon's trying to do. I think fans are turning on it, which is not great.
No.
But I think once the season starts, nobody's going to care.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, 11's here. But the other part is, it's football. Everybody's replaceable. It's like, you are one play away from not playing. And they have to have a backup plan. So it's like, I don't expect Ricky Pearsall to be Brandon Ayuk in 2024, but it's like, you got him so you could have depth.
Right.
And then whatever happens in 2025, that's next year's issue. And so Brandon's immediate concern is to get paid. The Niners' immediate concern is, we need to have the best team for this season. And trading Brandon Ayuk away for like a future draft pick does not help this season whatsoever. So
not at all. They're a worse team without him. And this is a year they really want to win. I agree with everything you said. And you
damn
know,
it.
I know. I'm sorry.
Isn't this like a debate show? Damn, we're terrible at this.
I'm sure we can debate something else.
This is a new show called Cold Take. We like everything.
It's a cold take. But to your point about one play and you may not play anymore, that's why I personally never blame a player for doing everything he can to get paid as much as he can, because that's the sport. So I know fans are turning, and I think that's unfair, but also that's just the nature of being fans and social media and the world we live in, but we will see. But here's maybe a prediction, and maybe this is more of a hot take, I don't know. Do you think we see Brandon Ayuk at training camp, or is it going to be like Bosa and it's the 11th hour?
I think you see it. I mean, it's just like, you know, we've been held hostage all offseason by this. And this, yeah. And it's just like, what else has gone on in the 49ers offseason?
Nothing.
Brock Purdy got married. Mm-hmm. Christian McCaffrey got married. Brandon Ayuk wanted a long-term commitment from the Niners, but they weren't ready to marry him to that big financial contract. So it's like, let us know. So does he, I mean, I think he shows because there's such a, the fine possibility. There's $50,000 in fines, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Bosa gets his excuse because he's Nick Bosa. He was the reigning defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk was not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, he's done everything in his power to try to maximize any leverage he has, which isn't much, if at anything. So mm-hmm. I think he shows. I do. I think he shows. And if it's not the first day, and then it's the second day or third day, they figure something out.
All right. You heard it here first. I kind of agree with that. I don't think it's going to be an 11th hour thing. And I've said on this podcast before, I think the other side of this is if they don't come to an agreement, like he needs to do everything he can to show them and other teams what he's worth this season. So not showing up for training camp at all will not help him in that cause. So.
Well, and he also might get hurt once the season starts because he hasn't been working out. And then it's going to be like, well, that was a selfish move and everybody will pick that apart. I mean, Nick Bosa said he, you know, in retrospect, got off to a slow start because he wasn't around. But I don't really buy that because I think he was nicked from day one. I mean, it's like, It's just that he didn't get as many sack totals. So that's kind of an easy excuse. But I thought he was still hustling and still at the top of his game. It just didn't necessarily translate into great sacks. I think part of that was because the defensive line to his right or left was not as good as it's been in past years. And that is a big issue going into this camp. I think they need a better defensive line. And there's a lot of new linemen to get up to speed for this. And I think that's going to be something worth watching.
Well, that was going to be my next question. As you look at the line, I am of the belief, and of course, time will tell, I am of the belief that although they lose Eric Armstead on the aggregate, I think the line got better. We have to see the addition of Leonard Floyd. Yeah. They really haven't had somebody on the other end of, you know, this opposite Nick Bosa to play that position. But should Leonard Floyd, you know, be what they think they want him to be, I do think the line gets better. But it's an important one to watch. Both lines, the defensive line and the offensive line. I don't think the offensive line is as bad as people like to say. And I don't think the 49ers think it is. But it's certainly not perfect. They didn't do a lot. And I feel like the thing that would worry me is they are one Trent Williams injury away from the season crumbling. And that to me, Trent Williams is like the key to the season. And I know that that sounds really weird with everything else they have, but you lose Trent Williams, this is a family show, but you know what they are.
I thought that was one of my big concerns throughout the offseason, was because Trent went radio silent for months and wasn't at OTAs as normal. But when we saw that mandatory minicamp, I'm like, okay, he has not retired. I mean, that's the greatest, that's the best sign they could have all offseason, that he's healthy and he's Trent, you know. Trent wants to win a Super Bowl and get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And I think that's just obvious. And could Colt McKivitt switch over to play left tackle? I guess. I mean, it's like everybody expects that there's all these great offensive tackles out there. It just doesn't exist.
No.
So it's like Colt McKivitt is an above average tackle. And people like, it's like, well, don't you remember you ran Mike McGlinchey out of town? And Mike McGlinchey was an above average tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But they brought in a few new offensive tackles to compete with Jalen Moore. So that'll be interesting to see how those guys are. But I think what saves them for any offensive line concerns is there's so much talent at the skill positions and with the play caller that knows how to scheme it where they were able to avoid getting Aaron Donald like to ruin any games for years, right? Except the NFC Championship game when the Super Bowl was online, but it wasn't on him. But I mean, it's like, he didn't like dominate the games that he was supposed to. And that's because the 49ers were able to out scheme him, and Dan Brunskill did his part. But I think that's why I think the offensive line isn't as much of a concern. And that's why they always invest so many assets in that defensive front. And I like some of the stuff they've done. I thought they should have drafted another high powered defensive end. I would have taken a defensive end in the first round rather than Ricky Pearsall, just because I'm not convinced that they have enough depth there. I mean, last year when you're trading for Chase Young and Randy Gregory, it's kind of like red flags. Like, we don't have enough here.
Yeah.
And those guys left. And I do like Leonard Floyd. He's a kind of a lankier, kind of an Alden Smith body, right? Like more of an athletic guy. But I can't wait to see how Eater Gross Mattos plays. I think he could be like a diamond in the rough. A guy who's been in Carolina, like in marooned there for a few years, and just looking at him in practice, I'm like, he could be something that nobody knows about yet. So that could be interesting. Then you got like a, I don't know if Drake Jackson's healthy enough yet. I would hope so.
Oh my God, I kind of forgot about Drake Jackson. I totally just kind of forgot about him.
Drake Jackson, Robert Beal Jr., or Rob B, whatever they call him nowadays. I want to see more out of him. But that's not a lot of guys, Tracy. And for a team that, I mean, you've obviously invested a ton with Nick Bosa. And then you've redone the defensive interior, getting rid of Eric and bringing in Malik Collins and Jordan Elliott. Jordan Elliott looked pretty good, too. So that'll be fun to watch. And then it's just, they're not going to have Dre Greenlaw at linebacker for probably the first month or so of the season, right? So it's kind of like, what's going to happen there? Because I don't think Devondre Campbell's a lock to start next to Fred Warner. He may have great credentials and experience, but if one of these young guys looks sensational in camp, why wouldn't you go and start him instead? Because he's next to the best linebacker in football.
Right.
He's going to be, it's a great on the job training and early in the season where you might need him right later in the season. That's just my opinion. I mean, Campbell could be phenomenal, but I just kind of, if Fred Warner was hyping up D Winters at the end of minicamp, then let's see more out of D Winters.
Well, I think it would obviously behoove the 49ers if D Winters turned out to be a really, really good linebacker and had a terrific camp. If someone else in that draft class that I would love to talk about, Darrell Luter Jr. So, you know, his rookie season certainly was not what they wanted. He started off injured. It's a Ricky Pearsall issue too, but we can get to that a little bit later. But he started off injured, and it really hampered his entire season. They liked him on special teams. Then the Super Bowl happens, and a freak, fluke, weird thing happens to him. In your experience, because you have been covering this more than I have, do you mentally, do you think, or longer than I have, I guess you should say, mentally, does that, with, I mean, he's coming into a year where he really has to prove himself, and they really liked him last year. One of the things that everybody talked about with him last year too, when they drafted him, was how mature he is. So I think that's very helpful. But mentally, how much do you think that affects the player?
I think it weighs on them to an extent. Like, I think, let's put it this way. I think Spencer Burford's gaffe is going to weigh more on him because that wasn't a fluke kind of thing. That was a personal mistake of not blocking Chris Jones on the most important play.
Yes. Interesting choice.
You know, here's one for you. Go back 10 years and Kyle Williams drops a couple punts in the AFC Championship game, right? And he just is like vilified for no end for, I mean, probably still now. But I mean, back in 2012, was it, when he reported back for camp, it was like he was so accountable. And he said, I can't like erase it from my memory, but I can try to avenge it. And it was, he tried to motivate himself off of it. Luter now, though, I mean, he was kind of fast tracked into some playing time.
I
don't know if they do that now because they brought in some pretty nifty cornerbacks. And I'd like to see how that competition shakes out. Was it Isaac Udom could be starting instead of Diamador Lenore? I think Lenore and Charvarius Ward are your starters. But and then Lenore would go inside if Isaac Udom proves himself as an outside guy. But then you have Renardo Green, who looked pretty darn good.
Yeah, he did.
As a rookie. But you know why he looked good? He looked good because he was aggressive and he was going after the ball and he was, he played tight, right? He played some sticky coverage, which works in passing camps like that. So it's going to become a question in training camp in the preseason is how is he like in terms of stopping the run? Like he looks like he's an aggressive dude, right? that's what you need out of your Nickelback. And that's what Lenore would do too. Mm-hmm. But if I'm D'Amador Lenore, I'm like, forget that. I don't want to play inside. The cornerbacks that I know that play outside all the time and are in contract years, they make a lot of money.
Yes.
I don't want to go inside. And I mean, sure, I have more value being versatile. Great. I want to be a big time corner. Like, he thinks of himself as one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, which is great. Yeah. But they have like a few other guys they brought in. I think just there's better depth than there was in past years. And like, then you realize that, oh yeah, they have like an all pro caliber Pro Bowler and Charvarius Ward on the other side, who also is in the contract here. It's just like, we've been so drowned by this Brandon Ayuk contract drama. It's like, there are other guys whose contracts are up that want to get paid. And McCaffrey was one of them. And that's like flew under the radar up until minicamp when he got paid. And it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And because he definitely deserved a raise or a little, you know, pat on the back. And it's like, at the same time, they took money out of Kyle Juszczyk's pocket because he was going to make too much. It's kind of a, how does that go over? Like, but I mean, they're good friends. So, but it's like, it's just, that's the business of the NFL. And I think those guys are professional enough to handle their business accordingly, privately. But there's, I mean, it's when teams start winning like this, everybody wants a piece of the pie.
Of course.
And it's going to be, they're able to get through it this year because some of those stars were on big time contracts. But those contracts, like in the NFL, every year it's, you're up for a review again. Come on in the office, close the door, and let's talk about it. So.
Well, it's kind of like I said at the beginning, that not even kind of, this with this group, this is the last chance. It doesn't mean they can't win, but with this group.
Yeah, but I hold on there.
Okay.
You got a quarterback who is young.
No, I'm not saying that it's their last. I just mean with this particular group, like where you're going to have Kittle and where you're going to have everybody. I'm not saying that they don't have other chance. I'm not saying I don't think their window closes after this year if they don't win the Super Bowl.
You're just saying it's a different window in the house.
It's a different window in the house is open that actually Kyle Juszczyk mentioned last year. He was asked about windows and he said, I don't like talking about windows because I think when we drafted, he mentioned Lenore. When we drafted D'Amador Lenore in the sixth round, we didn't know what he would be. When we drafted Elijah Mitchell, we didn't know what he would be. So I don't think the window closes. I just think, yes, that one closes and then you have to open a new one in the house for some fresh air.
Like that. I think that's a good, we're going with that.
We are.
We're going to roll with it. But here's the other thing. What other house on the block has their window open? I don't see the Detroit Lions like with a great big mansion that's adding on right now. I don't think that, I'm not all in on them. I think the Packers are ascending a little bit, but you know, they still have a quarterback who's learning a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't think their defense is great. So it's, you know, I think the NFC East, I mean, the Cowboys always perennially underachieve and their coach is on the hot seat again as the quarterback. The Eagles are trying to dig out of the hole from last year. Mm-hmm. Your guy Adam Peters is in Washington redoing that franchise. That could be good. And then the NFC South, it's like, okay, what do you got again? It's like Atlanta has more talent probably than anybody. Mm-hmm. Tampa has more playoff experience, but they don't have Tom Brady. So it's still Niners all the way. And people are, I'm not going to give the Rams their due without Aaron Donald yet. So
yeah, that's also fair.
Let's settle down.
So. I think the Rams are their only competition in the division, but the 49ers are significantly better in my opinion. At the moment, if you look at rosters at this moment in time, we'll see. There's a lot of time.
Absolutely. And it's like, there's no reason to undersell the 49ers. Right. It's like, why back off? It's like, they can still go pedal to the metal and they can do even better than they did last year.
Then there's only one way to do better than they did last year. And so there, we will see if they will.
Like by writing a book, is that what you're saying?
Yes, writing a book called The Franchise, sitting out the Super Bowl and being like, you know what we're doing, guys? We're writing a book. I think
that. Actually, Cam and Tracy are going to write it for us.
We'll write it for them. Absolutely. We'll need them to sit out the Super Bowl so we can talk to them and get all of their stories. So
But the Super Bowl is in New Orleans because we got to go to that. I mean, it's a Super Bowl in New Orleans is like no other.
It is. And actually the second Super Bowl, because I went to one in LA when I was a kid, the second Super Bowl I ever went to was the one in New Orleans when I was, before I covered the team. This is when I was still a fan and it was my dad and I went and it was amazing. And I was like, ever since then, it's been years. I'm like, this is the best place to have a Super Bowl. The Super Bowl should be here every single year. It was awesome. And so I agree. And listen, if we could do 9 days in Vegas, we can do 9 days in New Orleans. So now we need the team to comply.
It's a challenge, but it's one we'll be willing to take on.
Yes, 100%. So we've talked a lot about defense. We've talked, obviously, Brandon Ayuk on offense. Let's talk a little bit about offense. You mentioned the young quarterback, the young Brock Purdy, who has exceeded all expectations, clearly. But this is his first real offseason. You know, the first offseason, I talked a little bit about this on my Friday show, but the first offseason was rookies and everything they go through and Mr. Irrelevant and all that. Last year, he's rehabbing. This year, he has a true offseason. He's healthy and he could really just focus on the football part of it. I think that we're going to see an even better Brock Purdy as a result.
I do too. And that's why I was like, oh, he's not going to be able to replicate the numbers from last year with 4,280 yards as a franchise. I'm like, I disagree. Mm-hmm. I think he can. I mean, he did that while they still had the NFL's rushing leader.
Yes.
I mean, it's like,
good point.
The fact that he looks so calm and under control just in the spring practices, right? Mm-hmm. And just, you know, his demeanor. And I don't think Brock's one that's going to get a big head and think he's already better than Patrick Mahomes. He knows that he's like, that's one of his best traits, is he's self-aware.
Yes.
And that translates to his place on the roster. It translates to his place on the football field. When things break down, he knows he has the football and has to escape trouble and makes plays on the fly, which is something that I think we overlook a little bit because everybody's like, oh, he's such a great processor and knows where to go with the ball. Not necessarily. The NFL's, it's about creating chaos and it's knowing what to do with the ball once that chaos unfolds. So I don't think he's bothered at all that everybody's going to be talking about his contract too, because it's money in the NFL and you're going to be making upwards of $50 million a year after making $1 million a year.
Right. That's quite a range.
Right. Like if he shows up coming into camp with a Rolls Royce SUV towing a brand new yacht, that'll be phenomenal. He's like, I just put this on a layaway for a year and you're paying it off. He's not that type. I think he's all about focusing on the present, and I think that's great.
You know, after the Baltimore game, for me, after that game, even though he did not have a good game, I felt like, and I'd always really believed in him, really from early on when he was starting, but I felt like he has it. Like, this kid's going to be a star, and the reason is because I rarely do hear a player say, and he said it not so many words, I let the hype get to me. I let it affect me and I learned from that.
Right.
And that me, it's very rare that someone said that. And he didn't flat out use those words, but he said, sometimes you can let the outside get in your head and I learned a valuable lesson. And I think that to me said, this kid is going to be a star.
So. And something else about that game is, when you have a young player in whatever sport it is, a young pro, that takes the league by storm. The opponents usually find a hole in the swing and figure out how they can expose them. And it's like, so you go, is that what the Baltimore Ravens did? Because they picked them off four times. And so you worry about that, but the way he responded and the way he played in the playoffs just rose his game to a new level. I think that's what gives you a lot of confidence. So you go back 10 years and Colin Kaepernick takes the NFL by storm. And because he's a dual threat, nobody's ready for this guy running around the edge and being able to throw 300 mile an hour bullets that break Randy Moss's fingers. But 2 years later, every defense knows how to play him. And like, they dare him to make such stuff. I think Purdy can outwit defenses. Like, and him and Kyle Shanahan together are such a great compliment to do so. And the fact that Kyle is so embedded with ownership and that fully believe in him. Like, they're not, okay, that's it, man. We gave you, this is like, you made it to another Super Bowl and you didn't win. Wait, this has got to be it. No, they don't do that because they know, one, I don't know who would be better for them in this situation, because obviously the talent is all handcrafted for Kyle's stuff. But it just seems to work so well. And you have a great front man also in John Lynch to balance out that power structure. And, until Brandon Ayuk blows it up in one summer. No, I'm just kidding.
he takes this thing that was so good with so much promise and boom, that's it.
Damn, it's all Brandon. What did he do?
The Ayuk effect. I did mention that Ricky Pearsall starts on the NFI list. We'll see. They said they don't, apparently it's not expected to be serious, but I've been covering football a long time. So,
well, I mean, he was in the blue jersey, yes, he was in a non-contact jersey for non-contact practices in the spring. So you knew something was afoot. So that didn't really surprise me. It's one of those weird NFL transactional things, like paperwork stuff that needs to be filed that, okay, you are starting camp on NFI, but I don't think that the fact that he was working out like with Debo in Arizona and the Arizona Heat, like the last month, then that's, he's ready to go, I would think. So,
all right. So now I'm going to kind of put you on the hot seat. These are way too, a hot seat might be strong, but it's kind of a little bit way too early predictions. But on this moment in July,
oh boy,
before camp starts, who do you think their offensive MVP ends up being for the year?
Brock Purdy.
And who do you think their defensive MVP ends up being?
Nick Bosa.
Okay, that's totally fine.
That's too easy.
It is too easy. That's why I was hoping you would come. All right, then I'm going to go with a couple hot takes, okay? Now we'll hot take it. I'm going to say that their offensive MVP, it's not going to be such a hot take because, I mean, I think if it's not Brock Purdy, then I'm going to go Christian McCaffrey. But then their
defense. Did you say Josh Dobbs?
I definitely did not.
I'm getting something in my ear. You said Josh Dobbs.
Definitely didn't say that. Definitely did not say Josh Dobbs. Definitely did not.
Tanner Mordecai. That's it. Awesome.
Yep. No, definitely did not. Christian McCaffrey. And then on defense, it probably will be Nick Bosa. But I think just for fun, I'm going to say Charvarius Ward.
Okay.
Just for fun, even though it probably
that's fine. I mean, or else it's Fred Warner because he's like getting MVP votes. So, but boy, wouldn't it be interesting if it's anybody but that crew, like anybody else? What if it's like another like Debo Samuel, like back in 2021, like he has to do everything for this offense? Or what if it's, did they have a rookie defensive player? Oh, maybe it's Renardo Green. All of a sudden has like 8 interceptions out of the nickel. It's like, wait, what? That's unbelievable. He's like Lester Hayes. So yeah,
that's I think it might be Lenore and Ward on the outside and Renardo Green on the inside, but we'll see. Time will tell.
Okay. That's what's your next hot take question?
That was it. That was my hot take.
Oh, question. Come on. I thought it was going to be like, what's going to be the best game, or it's the best road trip, or what's the final prediction? What do you got?
Well, actually, this isn't so much a hot take question. This is just more a curiosity question. Which road trip are you most looking forward to this year?
Okay. Lambeau's always an amazing experience, right?
But I
went to Lambeau when I first started covering the team forever ago, and it was a different Lambeau because they didn't have all the corporate suites around the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, you were gone, you were in the grittiness. Fact that it may not be snowing and cold, like in the Niners won in the snowy playoffs, so that's not like the number one. I do enjoy going to Buffalo because I've only been there once and it was my mom's hometown, so there's like some kind of nostalgia.
I'm excited.
Yeah, but the thing with that is it's at the end of Thanksgiving weekend, so it's not going to be a fun travel weekend. Miami's at the start of the Christmas weekend. I do enjoy Minnesota Stadium a lot, and that's week two, and that's the first road game, and I think that's it's going to be a huge challenge. Niners haven't won there, I think, their last 9 times. So it's always hard to go in there and win. But now here's a weird one. I think the road trip I might be looking forward to most might be LA, just because it's like, it's kind of early in the season. The Niners take over that stadium like no other and kind of give you like a little juice kind of like going into the rest of the stuff. So that could be it. Tampa's not really high on the list. And is there one more? Is there like Washington or something?
No, Washington. I think Arizona and Seattle.
Arizona doesn't count.
I like Arizona. That's fair. See, I like Seattle, but
Seattle's going to be a Thursday night game, and they're going to be wearing their throwback uniforms.
Yeah,
and so there's that little. But they also have a first year coach and a weird quarterback situation. So the best Seattle trips are at the end of the season when the division and the NFC number one seeds at stake. So
that's true. I like going to Seattle though. And Nick Wagner and Tim Kawakami and I always go to our favorite sushi place. So I do look forward to that. So that of the first, I am going to tell you, here's a fun fact about me, Cam. I am a newly minted Minnesota Vikings fan since April 27th at about 6 p.m. Pacific time. when they
because drafted. Because of J.J. Stokes?
100%, J.J. McCarthy.
No. Oh, J.J. McCarthy.
So I actually have a custom-made J.J. McCarthy sweatshirt that I know I can't wear to the game, but I might wear it like Saturday. I'm really excited for that game.
Now, okay, here's what I'm going to leave you with, because this is going to make your day if you haven't heard is. So there's a guy that used to coach Michigan, right? Also used to coach the 49ers.
And
2 days after the Super Bowl, when I was doing Channel 5's Red and Gold Report, they asked me for a prediction. They asked me for a prediction for the offseason, and I instead gave them a prediction for the entire season. I said, the Niners are going to go and play and win their Super Bowl, and they're going to face Jim Harbaugh because he's back in the league coaching the Chargers, and it's going to go down in New Orleans, which is where the 49ers lost their first Super Bowl under Jim Harbaugh. The NFL is a weird cyclical world, mm-hmm. and so that's what I was going with. So,
well, it's funny you mention that because I'm also a really big Los Angeles Chargers fan. So there, I'm really, my two new phrases are bolt up and skull. So that's, there's that. I'm actually deciding, since the 49ers open on Monday night, the Chargers open in LA on Sunday. I'm kind of thinking about going to that game. Mm. Then that week I'd have Jim Harbaugh, the Niners opener, Cody Bellinger in town to play the Dodgers, and then JJ McCarthy. It might be the best week of my life.
Who are the Chargers open with?
I have no idea.
Do you know?
No, I'm not that big a fan. I'm not that big.
They're doing joint practices with the Rams twice, like on two different times during training camp. It's interesting. Weird. Like the Rams are doing joint practices with four different teams.
That's so weird.
So they're really spreading themselves out to expose themselves. So it is interesting.
That will be interesting. Well, yeah. I think we've covered all the things we can before camp starts. So Cam and camp. I just put that together.
Isn't that neat?
So it's Cam. You should have a segment called Cam Camp. Just throwing.
Well, now listen. My son and I used to do a father-son trip where we get away for a week every summer. It's called Camp Camp, and he goes wherever I tell him to. And instead, it became Camp Grant this week because we had to replace the bumper on his truck that I bought him.
Oh,
he gave a kiss to a Jeep that didn't go over so well.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Sometimes the Jeeps don't like that. Yeah. Well, let everyone know where they can find you, please.
Okay. Well, on Instagram, it's at 49ers.cam. Mm-hmm. On X, it's at Cam Inman. And for my book, go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or Triumph Books. And we'll see you at the ballgame this year.
We are at FGSN.com. You can find everything there. And we just redid our site. And would love you guys to subscribe to our newsletter. On X, I am Tracy FGSN. On Instagram, Tracy Sandler. We are brought to you by Bet Online. Leave us a great review. And I think those are all my announcements. Bye, y'all.